All right, thank you.
Okay, here we go. Section 4, Part 4, Taking Prophetic Ministry Outside the Walls. And this will be fun. Now, there's a verse there from the King James, Isaiah 10:27. And for you theologians out there, I know what you would say, that that verse doesn't mean that, right? But, we, you know, you could. I like the King James verse here. But what it is, that verse deals with speaking to Israel and taking the yoke of the Assyrian off of them. And what that means is it's not the anointing oil, per se. It is about where Yahweh is going to build up the oxen so big that that yoke is going to break off.
Amen.
And that's a wonderful interpretation, but I like the other one too. So that's this is part 4, page 1, the top, talking about it shall come to pass in that day. So learning goals here, what we're going to do is we're going to practice or talk about being prophetic outside the church in the marketplace. Again, there's a lot of people that desperately need it. Again, spending time in the Holy Spirit yields a life that is ready to do this type of ministry and getting ready for the suddenlies. I'll talk about that. Suddenlies. And it works when you decide to take the risk. You're going to have to take the risk. That's a big choice. So when in public, again, we're talking about learning goals. It's not in your paper there. When you're in public, ask the Lord to have your eyes open. We don't do that often, do we? Because we want to just get, you know, business out there. And there are many ways to deliver your prophetic word. You do what works best depending on your circumstances and surroundings. And remember, of course, and I know that you know this, being in public is different. It's a different dynamic than being in church. So, here we go. Let's get into this. Why take it outside? Well, it may be prophetic, but it's still sharing the gospel and you're bringing the good news to people. So why do this? Well, I use this quote from Thoreau. Most people out there are living lives of quiet desperation. Now, there's a lot of meaning connected with that, but I think just the basic meaning is correct enough. They're desperate, right? A lot of unhappiness, they're going through things. So it is a truth out there. Now it talks about 2 Timothy here, preaching the word, being instant in season, not a season. Reprove, rebuke. So this is the mission that Timothy has, but it's also something we need to pay attention to. And so what about being instant in season and out of season? What does that mean? And I like Ellicott commentary there. It's in the box, in the sidebar. For your work, you don't have fixed hours. You're not an 8-to-5 person. This is your lifestyle, right? God's work must be done at all hours, all times. You never know. Boom, you get a download. Or you're feeling anointed to do a ministry. It's to do it. So I put this down here to say, you know, what we have to do is say, I'm on call at all times. Yeah. It's not fixed hours. I'm sleeping. Sorry. I'm TV watching. Sorry. You know what I mean, right? You carry on the work, and it could be at strange times when this happens. All right, so we'll talk some more about 2 Timothy under the box there. He's talking about preaching and an overall charge of ministry. But again, let's talk about being instant in season and out of season here. It can occur to you. The anointing can be sudden and the opportunity right there. Has this happened to you out there? Yeah, it's happened to me. You may not feel like doing it, then you have a choice.
Right.
That's
right. Yes. So we need to have some preparation for those public contacts when the Holy Spirit wants to flow through you. And that means we need to shift some mindsets and routines. Because oftentimes what we do, consciously or unconsciously, is my time is my time.
Yeah.
And when I go to church, that's God's time. When I'm in prayer, that's God's time. When I'm at home,
TV time.
That's true. We do it. So we need to shift. Okay. And you're going to run into these occasions, and afterwards you're very thankful that you did, right? Okay. So the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Revelation 19:10. And it's one of those sum-up statements. The book of Revelation is an unfolding revelation of Christ. Your prophetic word will testify of him. The scriptures testify of him. And prophetic utterances bring the focus to him. Right? Now, maybe you don't even mention the word, thus saith the Lord, whatever. Their understanding, though the Lord knows how to bring an understanding. You are from God. That message is from God.
Yeah, right?
Right?
Amen.
So when we do operate in the prophetic, in the public, we want that anointing that breaks the yoke. It's his anointing that releases captives, heals, delivers, and restores. And the prophetic word can release the anointing. So, when we talk about ministry in the public place, it's easier said than done, right? We're more comfortable in church. People think like us. They act like us. In the minds of the people, they could be all over the place. Right? And now usually they're thinking that spirituality belongs on Sunday, if they even think that way. Right? And as a result, we could be viewed as an interruption, and possibly we are, but it could be a blessed one.
Amen. That's right.
And something else to keep in mind is that we're not talking about a bullhorn ministry here. And you've seen those guys out there downtown. Right? We're not that. Prophetic ministry usually is targeted. It's specific. And there's a lot of work, of course, that must be done, but we want to ask the Holy Spirit, what is it that you want to do? So I have been getting into that habit. Lord, what would you like to show me? What was it like? Is there something out there that I need to see in the Spirit? And, I want to be the person that's more ready. I have had the suddenlies and have acted on it, but I want to be there all the time. I don't want to be just drifting, taking a walk down the street, just enjoying the scenery or the sunny day. So spending time in God yields deposits in faith. And one thing that we can do, have you guys heard about a tactic named soaking?
Yeah.
Okay, very good. As a way to practice his presence. And God is looking for people who will spend that time with him. So practice entering in his presence and walking in it. Totally worth it. Doing public ministry yields more experience and helps create faith. Watching God work builds more faith. It doesn't have to be look and feel of going to Africa on a safari, right? A lot of us, we build up to that. Oh, I'm going on a mission trip and all that stuff. But the mission trip, really, this is something we have to get in our minds. It's out there. That's the real safari.
Right. Yeah.
Downtown Third Avenue.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's as simple as asking the Holy Spirit to open your eyes about a person or a place. And again, we have to be intentional about this and deliberate. Now, reaching out will take you out of your comfort zone. Having done so, focusing too hard, and once you, let's say, you're starting to engage, if you focus too hard on accuracy, again, if you go back to, I want to be accurate, and you might tense up and freeze up. Don't worry about that so much. You're there. Engage. Release it. Right? And very likely the person is going to be wowed and impressed anyway. So just learn how to rest and allow God to work through you and leave the rest with him. Now, all those who have the Holy Spirit can prophesy. It's just a matter of learning to step in it. and it can show up in places you may not expect. And then I, let's see, I did Acts, a scripture there. But I do like this quote from Heidler and Pierce. They teamed up to write a book about gift ministries. There's only one way, really only one way to discover your gifts out there, and that is to attempt it.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So, and you may fail. Maybe it goes south, goes awry, but you tried it. Now you've logged in experience. And then get another one. Get another one. Get another one. Then you have some things to talk about, right? So let's talk about getting in the prophetic flow. Again, we're talking about kicking it out there. So what's the fastest way to get in the spontaneous flow? Well, you can think about thoughts of him, pictures, speaking. Ask for your spiritual eyes to be open. And what I do want to point out this one sidebar. Have you guys read or heard a book called The Veil by Blake Healy? Did you read that?
Yes.
Wow. Impacting. Amazing. And then it's a gift that he had since he was young. But he does say that gift can be opened to us. That, if you read his book, it's pretty amazing. Check him out. So you can try particular things in underneath the box. Try particular things to get into the prophetic flow. Ask the Holy Spirit to be in your thoughts. Ask who is ready to receive something. When you're receiving a thought or a picture of someone or something, and you say, oh, this is something to be careful of. If when you do get something, don't just say, ah, that's just me.
It's probably not. Right.
Now, the wonderful thing about Holy Spirit, how he works with me, because I tended to be dense and hard-headed when I was starting, and still am, that picture will stay. And if that picture is staying, that image, you better check it out. Right? That's more than just you. That's the Holy Spirit speaking to you. And I can tell you a lot of stories with that. But when I was learning, I was hard-headed. I was dense. And it just, no, Lord, that must be me. Boom. No, Lord, that's me. That's not. Really, give it to me. Boom. Right? Yeah. I learned a lot of things the hard way. Let's say that you're talking with a person. You put your hand on them. And what does that do?
Activates.
But of course, that implies that you have a relationship and that it's safe to do so, right? You don't do this for everybody. Okay?
Need permission.
And then, or you ask for a word of knowledge. Well, one technique you can do is five finger blessing, right? Put the hand on, Father, future, friends and family, right?
Yeah.
See what the Holy Spirit will do with that. There's nothing wrong with asking Holy Spirit questions. You're partnering with him. And during your contact with a ministry receiver, you may need to reveal the source of how you got your information. You go, how did you know that? Right? And if it's appropriate, you've already scouted. Well, let me take that back. Not scouted, but you sense, you read that this person can understand that. Reveal it. Holy Spirit signed that mail. And again, touching people implies unity in a safe place. But again, that personal touch may activate the prophetic flow. I will say I was in Hawaii with our leadership team, and I noted that the prophetic minister wanted to hold hands. He wanted to hold my hand. Why was he doing that? He wanted to get the activation. He wanted to sense who I was, right?
Yes.
We talked about the word of knowledge. When you do release a word of knowledge, again, it opens their curiosity and wonder. Say, how did you know that? And then they're open to receive a prophetic word or a prayer for healing or a prayer to put a stop to this or end that or for a blessing. So I do want to say, be careful not to make prophecy religious, because a lot of what we've trained to do here is conducive to church culture. Keep in mind that most people outside the church have an alienated view of God, right? And they also have a level of tolerance you're going to have to gauge. So don't make your Father God split, you know, we want to bless Susie to make sure that she blah, 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 and you know, put on a holy tone to it and everything else. And you find out you're standing in the middle of a food line, right? No. So don't make it lengthy. Make it quick.
30 seconds.
Yeah, that's a good good rule of thumb. So, because again, the longer you do this, the more they're going to start to, their senses are going to start taking over, and they're going to start looking around. Who's looking at me? You know, and what's going on here, and all that stuff. So be quick. Let's go to the next page there. I want to do a sidebar real quick, and that's the one, words of knowledge. It's often considered part of being prophetic. I don't have a problem with that. You know, there really is a line of division of understanding between words of knowledge and being prophecy and a prophecy, but a lot of times we include and lump things together when you're in a prophetic circle. That's fine. As long as, you know, you put out there that the education about the differences and things like that. But, you know, oftentimes say, well, that person was being prophetic with me. You know, well, what did they do? Well, they said this, and, well, it's not really a prophecy, but so what? Big deal. You know where I'm coming from on that? All right. So, delivering. Let's talk about delivering your prophetic word. If a person is not ready to receive, don't press the issue there. Usually when the supernatural is operating, people are amazed, but of course some people can't receive it. Remember about sin. God doesn't take it and rub it in the face of people. Holy Spirit will show you things and the secrets of people. But those secrets could be dreams, aspirations, hopes, right? That's in 1 Corinthians 14. I think sometimes, I used to have a view of this. When it talks about in 1 Corinthians 14 about, but if everyone is prophesying, an unbeliever, uninstructed person should come in. We're thinking, oh, the prophetic word is going to rise up and they're, you know, that person is going to be convicted of their sins and they, you know, they fall to the ground. God is with you. It doesn't have to do that or be that. It's about the Lord sees you and he sees your dream, aspirations, and longings and desires of fill in the blank. And that person's amazed. God is certainly with you. Keep in mind, again, that the intense focus on accuracy can distract you, detract from the message. Lord, was this right? Was this right? You know, just go with it. Or, because if you start getting distracted, the impact starts to get reduced. Now, and somebody did this over here earlier, you can embed your prophetic word with your discussion with people, even, or a conversation. And people are left to wonder. And let God let them figure it out. Because he can do that. He's big enough to do that. Your impact may be greater without the religious touch to it.
Right.
And sometimes you'll be able to check back later and discuss with the receiver. And then introduce them to the Lord.
Yeah.
One time I was at an event. It was in Florida, South Florida. And one of a classmate, I was at a reunion, and a classmate had her kids with her. And I remember, I just felt a download and anointed. I said, I pointed that kid, and of course, whenever I get an anointing and download, I start to do this, right? But that doesn't mean you're convicted or anything. I've told this young man that he had a destiny, a real purpose, and amazing future. I think he was going to be a doctor or a scientist or some very smart guy, and that he had a real destiny in front of him. Didn't say this is authored by the Holy Spirit or anything, but it really impacted him and the mother. And I remember she sent a message later, man, that was so good what you did and all that stuff. But there was a word for this young man as to what the Lord was watching his destiny unfold, and it had amazing things in it. And I believe that they were Catholic, but I some parameters for prophetic ministry in the marketplace. Our God is kind, and he's loving, and he's merciful, and he loves the unchurched.
Yes, right.
Amen.
Loves the unchurched and unsaved. And he's looking for the best in the individuals to bring out their potential.
Amen.
Always build up, encourage, and comfort. And do avoid, thus saith the Lord, because that is religious. Okay, now, some people can take it, right? But, you know, you'll have to gauge, but avoid it if you can. Yes, are there warnings to give sometimes? Well, of course, being maturing in the prophetic ministry, of course, yes. But it's likely in rare circumstances. Weigh it carefully and appropriately, all right? I sense the Lord saying is appropriate, but again, you can leave that out, but you'll have to size up the person. Be free to ask questions to the Lord. What does he want to say? How does he want to say it? Be aware of your surroundings in the marketplace. People are working. People, don't overpray. We talked about that a few seconds ago. Don't overwitness. Okay? God will finish it. He will finish the work. And absolutely no grandstanding. Grandstanding is getting up and going, Brother Mark, the Lord would say, and now, walk by the way, yada, yada, look at me, look at me, look at me. Right? That's grandstanding. That's grandstanding. Let people be impacted by the Spirit, and of course not the flesh. And again, I put it in E there. You may only have time for a quick hit. It's a short word. It's a quick prayer. Because people are walking, they're bustling, you know, depending on where they are. Don't get into arguments. Because you can't argue with religious spirits. Right? It's not going to, it won't work. Okay, let's bring it all together. It is possible to be prophetic outside the church and in the marketplace. And it's bringing the good news to people desperately needing it. I will tell you this one story. I said it in church recently, but this one person was trying out for a job and was really going through a lot of ups and downs with that. And something came on me to just... And again, I started to do the pointing thing. And I said, you want a word? And I did say this, too. I said, you want a faith-based message? And he just kind of said, you will get that job. You know, and I said maybe a couple of other things. And I was bold about it. And it really took him back. But afterward, boy, he sure was impacted by it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he did get it. But, you know, was he a Christian? No. He was a self-professed pagan.
Oh.
Yeah, that was one for you, right?
Love those guys.
Okay, we're bringing it all together again. Spending a time in the Holy Spirit yields a life that is ready to do the ministry that is public and ready for the suddenlies. Because, folks, if you start operating prophetically and you are getting tenderized and sensitized to God's Spirit, he's going to come on you, and it will be at strange moments, because it's happened to me, it'll happen to you. I'm no better than you, right? In a lot of ways, I'm worse. And I'm not just saying that. I didn't have a silver spoon in my mouth. Right? Okay, enough of that. It works when you decide to take the risk. When in public, ask to have your eyes open. Ask for the anointing. And then there are many ways to deliver your prophetic word. Do what works best depending on the circumstances and surroundings. And remember, of course, that being in public is different than being in church. And there's different things to consider, be aware of.
Like throwing
You know what?
So you have 20 minutes left.
Of this?
Yeah.
All right.
So all right. We have lots of activation time.
Well, let's go and do one more thing. One more thing. If you look at the addendum here, all right, there's a reason why I did this. I'll just go over it real quick. So there's different ways and practices that are out there. I would like, it's good that you identify what they are. So, and you may ask, hey, Kate, okay, what's the best? And the thing is, when you go through prophetic training and you go through the different sites and places and different ministers and teachers, and they all talk about what somebody else is doing or what this guy is doing and all that stuff. And that's in the professional world as well. Because everybody wants to believe that what they're doing is the right way.
Right.
And the other guy, what they're doing is wrong. Not completely, but wrong, right? Or it could be flat out completely wrong. So there's just a tendency, that is humanity at work. As humans, we tend to do that. So, when it comes to prophetic ministry, you will probably get trained in different methods, and that's okay. But just recognize that there are a number of different methods and ways to do it.
Yeah.
So, but I will say this too, as a person being trained, if you've trained one way and you've been imprinted by one way, it's kind of hard to shift into another way. So, but you can. But it's going to take some real deliberate practice. So if you, and the reason why I want to explain this is because when you take it home, you read through it and you go, well, what was Davis trying to say there? So if you look at number one, these are in broad brush strokes. It is some groups, they do say, my son or my daughter, they say, thus saith the Lord. And saints are trained this way to use pictures, their feelings to form words. And they heavily emphasize faith to release that word, okay? Some groups do number two, which is they use expressions in terms of my sense or my impression is. And saints who are trained this way are taught the use of the pictures and their feelings and impressions to form the message. But they understand that there's sometimes ambiguity and mystery to it. The minister releases, and they can say, I sense, I feel, or I'm impressed with, and they can explain it as such. And after the word is released, the ministry receiver weighs it and determines if it's accurate. In this room, this method allows for some room for ambiguity. So, and when I mean ambiguity, it can mean different things. Okay. And if the message is not correct, then both the delivery and the receiver can say, okay, it wasn't from the Lord. Oftentimes it is, though. That's the thing. Okay, let's talk about number three, prophecy that comes spontaneously from a dynamic moving of the Holy Spirit from within. This is amazing to watch. And what saints that are operating this way are taught that it comes from here, and it comes out that way, right? The internals, and it comes forth in a dynamic fashion. And the saints who operate this do tend to, they don't like it to, they're not prophesying from their mind, they say. They're prophesying from the river, the splenna. Okay? And it's often accompanied by speaking loud, although you don't have to, shaking of the hands or the body, shaking of the head, other body manifestations that are reacting to the Holy Spirit. Is that wrong? No. No, it's very dynamic to watch. If you watched,
it's a style.
It's a style. If you watch Patricia King, you know, I know we've had our own internal, I've seen Melinda do this, I've seen Donna do this. It's very powerful. So does that mean it's wrong? Or it's just different. It's the way the Holy Spirit is activated. Then there's number four. The prophecy that comes through an unknown tongue first, and then the interpretation. And so, and I have not seen a lot of this. Now, I did when I was being churched up, or grown up through a church in my young man days, I would say. We saw a lot of this, but when we left that arena, haven't seen that as much. So I don't know why that is. It's just the way it is today. I believe that will change. But part of the mystery to me is because it's so biblically explicit. You know, it's clear as to what it says in 1 Corinthians. So it is the way it is. And it could be also based on our region, where we are at, what we're seeing. But even when I've traveled around the country and gone to different conferences, seminars, I've not seen as much. One minister I trained under taught that that method was a higher level of prophetic utterance. And from what I've witnessed, this prophetic utterance is likely a gift of prophecy in operation. So I wanted to do some explanation there, because I think what happens is people will get in particular modes, or they get trained in one area and they see other things and they're not quite sure what to make of it. But those are areas that I've seen, and there probably are more. And again, I ask the question, is it wrong what they're doing? I'd have to say no. But it's just different, all right? People that are saying, my son, my daughter, I know that in their heart, they mean it well. They're trying to be a blessing. They're releasing a prophetic word, which is often accurate anyway, right?
Yep.
Or they say, thus saith your father, thus saith the Lord. No, it's just different. Okay, you guys ready?
That's it.
You covered the book.
Yeah. Woo, 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 woo. A+.
Thank you, Don.
Yeah.
Do you remember Stacy Campbell?
Yes.
You watched her prophesy.
Yep.
I don't know. That and her, I don't know.
She shakes her head. She's tried not shaking her head.